Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 19th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Jim Kripe. He's at the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. In agricultural news, the head man at US EPA went to Iowa to see dusty bean harvest yesterday. And instead, he spent the day in a two-car garage. Well, the president is expected to attend an international conference in November. That's aimed at restarting the stalled WTO trade talks. And the National Corn Growers Association is pondering an expansion of the RFS for ethanol. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary and talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast here in this nation and around the globe. So stay with us for this Thursday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
On this Thursday afternoon in Chicago, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at $5.13, up a half. March contract there at $5.24.5 for the soft red. They were 5.5 cents higher. December corn futures at $3.16, the settlement price up a half. The March futures at $3.27, up 1.75. And May contract at $3.33. Two higher for the day. July futures at 337.5. They were up two in Chicago for the corn pit. November beans at 608. Settlement price up 3.5. January futures up 4.5 cents at 622.5. And the March at 628.75. They were up 2.75. November contract 659.25. 3 cents higher. December bean meal futures at 178.70. Down 90. December bean oil futures up 60 at 26.54. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle at 106.70, down 40 cents. The live cattle at 87.87.5. They were up 70 in the Octobers. And December futures there were 65 cents higher at 87.20. December lean hogs at $58.67.5 were down 57.5. From the outside markets, crude oil trading the November contract at $58.50 a barrel, up 90 cents at this hour. The CRBX index at 307.85, that's up 333, and the Dow at 12,000 even is up just about 8 points at the hour.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Daily Farms Incorporated, Arthur; First National Bank and Trust Company, Clinton; and GCOM Incorporated, Savoy. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Let's talk about this wild and woolly week that we've had. It continued from a couple of weeks of trade that were really pretty rough if you were in the wheat pit and on the wrong side of the market. But it looks like things have settled down just a bit. Where do we stand on the technical side of the market for corn and for soybeans? And then we'll get to wheat a bit later.
Well, corn ran into long-term trend line resistance. For the audience that gets Farm Week, they can kind of look at that back page of Farm Week, and we had a December continuation chart there on Monday, and it's the 96 high, which was something like 389 or something like that, connected with the 04 high. The trend line, long-term trend line resistance came into play right at this 325 area. There was a chart gap in there between 24 and 26. So the corn market kind of run into, chart gap resistance and long-term trend line resistance at that 3.25, and it's basically had a quick decline off of that high about 10 cents. We had a low here about 314 here today. So we've had a quick dime decline on that. So the corn market basically found some pretty stiff resistance at that point, technically, at least for now. Now, what we saw here, too, today was unwinding of the bull spread. You can see that the old crop D's was only up a half cent. New crop D's was actually up a nickel. And I think the primary reason on that is I understand the Chicago Board of Trade raised margins on that on the bull spread or on spread trade. So what we saw was some liquidation of that spread here based upon raising those margin requirements. And then I think this morning's weekly export sales number showing only 30 million bushels of corn sold last week came in well under what the guesses were and well under last week and what the pace has been over the past several weeks. So that kind of signaled that maybe corn prices have reached a level that is discouraging export interest anyway, or it is turning world buyers away from the U.S. and maybe to China or whatnot, because China does have some extra corn away. So based upon that, you saw the unwinding of the bull spread. There really has been no damage done to anything yet. The market, though, is technically overbought. Weekly cyclicals would indicate that the market is ripe for a period of consolidation or setback. And often, the last week of the month, you go opposite of what the dominant trend for the month has been, and we're going to be entering the end of the October here next week. So you may see some long liquidation activity, long profit taking, and that could kind of encourage this breather type consolidation or setback, whatever you want to call it here. And then once we get through October, then the market will take a look at the November crop report, and we'll have another couple weeks of demand disappearance and see what happens.
We spent some time last week talking about how long you thought we would be in this range, where it might go. You suggested that maybe the highs we were thinking about for next spring or next fall may be shifting into this six-month period that we're just in the midst of, I think, in about the first month of or so. You're still in that particular camp?
Well, I'm watchful for that, and that's what I, I don't think we've done it yet, but I'm watchful for something like that, is if this market would get carried away over the next couple months, and, what it would do is choke demand, then it would discourage any expansion of, maybe ethanol production. The other thing you have to keep an eye on is $60 oil. Is $60 oil going to be the bottom end of this decline on crude oil prices, or is there going to be a slide down to 50? So all of this ethanol expansion, I think probably, I know everybody's optimistic about it, and there's a lot of speculative money wanting to go into this ethanol industry, which is fine. But they're, depending upon what the economics turn into over the next 2 or 3 months, some of that stuff may be put on hold, and that'll be what the market is trying to do, is slow demand and encourage new acreage. And of course, after the October crop report with an ending stocks now down underneath a billion bushels, that forces all the more need to attract more acres into corn. And you can attract intentions this time of the year. You can attract seed purchases and locking of chemicals and all that, but until you get the crop planted, you don't know about the increase of acres and that kind of stuff. So you could do a survey right here today, and you might find out the farmers do plan to plant 4 million more acres of corn, but until it's actually planted, the market has a lot to worry about, and there could be a lot of price volatility.
And in that process, they might have an 80 that they call an 80, but they're really taking out all of the set-asides, or all the set-asides, anything that they've got in grass and waterways. And they may, I saw on the way in this morning, part of a waterway that was torn up, and I'm sure that's going into corn next year. So there are a lot of acres that could come in that aren't counted in a lot of places.
Well, right. And see, you don't have to really convince farmers to plant more corn acres. I mean, they like to plant corn. But there has to be an economic incentive for them to move out of their normal rotation, which many have been in a, you know, 50-50 deal or maybe 60-40. There's been a tendency to plant more corn all along. So, but, you know, they don't necessarily like to move out of that rotation unless there's a real serious economic incentive to do that. But, see, this week's cases of rust in southern Illinois and Kentucky and all that, you know, that there has kind of maybe cooled some of the enthusiasm for corn, because what that kind of indicates it could do is push acres into corn, not necessarily from the economic incentive of higher corn prices, but that I don't want to hassle with spraying for rust, and I don't want to run the risk of my beans having rust, so I'm just going to go ahead and plant corn. So it encourages people to just go right on over to corn anyway and not hassle with the fear of having to mess around with rust. So, I mean, there's always a different twist and different spin to this market. It is kind of exciting to watch these markets here after going through kind of a lull period there in the late 90s and the first couple years of the 02s here. But now there's factors out there that can keep the pot stirred up anyway.
Central Illinois cash price for corn went to $3 earlier in the week. What are you telling producers about the grain that they have to sell?
Well, I'm telling them this is a spot that, you know, if this 325 area can stop this market for a while, maybe have a setback, a breather. So I'm saying that this is a spot in here to peel off some inventory. I'm not necessarily wanting to clean out the bin yet, but this is a spot to peel off some inventory, especially if you've been strong enough not to be tempted by other prices that were at lower levels and kind of own all your corn. So this is a spot. If we go on up through this 325 area, this long-term trend line chart to make new highs on D's corn, the chart says 350. So that kind of says that probably 325 cash corn is in the mix here, but you know, we got to get the momentum after we have a breather here to go on up through 325, and then we can go on to 350. But you know, that might take the November crop report to fuel that, a downward adjustment November crop report. But it looks to me like between now and the November crop report, the market could be very well supported, because that's going to be a report that's going to remind everybody again that we do have a fairly snug supply-demand balance sheet for corn. The beans, not so much so, but, you know, if wheat acres go up and corn acres go up, bean acres are going to go down significantly. So, you know, that helps out soybeans, at least long-term underlying strength.
Dan, we appreciate you being with us today.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialist, on the web at agrigold.com.
At the bottom of the hour, agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Sola says tonight is southeastern Indiana. Cloudy skies, some occasional showers. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows this evening will range from 32 in northwestern Illinois to 42 in southeastern Indiana. Tomorrow, Mike says partly sunny skies. Highs will range from 52 in northern Illinois to around 60 in the far south. Tomorrow, winds will shift to the southwest and speeds will be less than 15 miles an hour. Dave Dickey's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, EPA Administrator Stephen Johnson toured Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley's farm yesterday. Johnson was supposed to witness how soybean harvest stirs up dust, but steady rain prevented that from happening. Instead, about 30 damp farmers, staffers, and journalists huddled and discussed the issue in a two-car garage. Grassley wants Johnson to modify new EPA rules lowering allowable particulate matter in the atmosphere by giving agriculture an exemption. Yesterday, Johnson said that would not happen, claiming there is not enough scientific evidence that rules out health concerns from farm dust. U.S. President George Bush and U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab are expected to attend an international conference in November to discuss both formally and informally steps needed to restart the stalled Doha round of world trade talks. The meeting is the first for national leaders to meet face-to-face since the talks stalled last summer. Officials at the National Corn Growers Association say they're confident that Congress will reconsider the current renewable fuels standard of 7.5 billion gallons by 2012. Energy advisor Emily Olson.
National Corn Growers at this point, we have not set our policy whether we will push for an RFS expansion or not. But I think you will see groups similar to 25 by 25 come out probably in January or so and look to start expanding the RFS.
It would take 15 billion gallons of ethanol a year to blend 10% ethanol for every gallon of gas sold today. Olson says a number of factors will determine a new RFS.
I think it's going to be the market. Where we're going to go, how much more will we hit a wall? How will cellulose play into that? Where will be? I think there's several factors that'll go into determining where we need to up it.
106 ethanol plants are currently up and running, with another 51 under construction or expansion. Brazil's Rural Assistance Agency today says the winter wheat crop in top state producer Paraná will be reduced by 46%, and in number two state, Rio Grande do Sul, by 50% due to an early September cold snap. Official forecasts put Brazil's winter wheat harvest at 2.4 million tons, down from an original projection of 4.8 million tons. Texas A&M economists say cotton is likely to lose acres to wheat and soybeans next growing season. Dr. Carl Anderson.
We're hearing, and I'm talking with large operators in the Delta that have decided to put in a lot more wheat and replace their cotton. And the irrigated folks are going to double crop with soybeans. Price is fair. They're going to be looking at a cash of about $500 an acre from those two crops.
Anderson says he expects a 1 to 2 million acre drop in corn planting. Not 1 pound of U.S. beef has yet made its way to South Korea as U.S. exporters continue to struggle with South Korea's zero-tolerance policy on bone material. Exporters and producers say the policy is unworkable, and they say that during butchering, it is almost impossible to exclude bone chips, fragments, and powder from the beef. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. In today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkus says agriculture is a compelling American story Congress wants to hear.
Members of Congress want real messages from the people they represent. To help eliminate emails automatically generated from computers, a handful of congressional offices have instituted a new tool that requires email senders to answer a simple math or logic puzzle before the email will go through. The main reason is that members of Congress want to hear from real, live human beings with real stories to tell. Congress wants those who feel strongly enough about an issue to send a personalized communication. The logic and math puzzles provide a filter that helps senators and representatives and their staff members separate the heartfelt wheat from the mass-produced chaff. It is only logical that farmers are among those who have compelling stories that members of Congress want to hear. U.S. growers provide some of the safest and most affordable food in the world. Moving well beyond food and fiber, they're also a key component of America's effort to reduce its dependence on foreign oil through the production of biofuels. At the same time, producers are taking care of the country's land, forests, and streams, and other valuable natural resources. That's an awful lot of work for a group that comprises only 2% of the U.S. population. Farmers are facing higher expenses, such as energy, fertilizer, and other costs that threaten their profitability and livelihoods. Ever-increasing regulatory requirements are further straining the bottom line. Unlike in other industries, most farmers simply cannot pass these costs on to the consumer. What they can pass along are their stories of farms passed from generation to generation, now jeopardized by the death tax, of Supreme Court rulings that endanger their rights as property owners, and of a labor shortage that threatens the viability of the entire agricultural sector, from dairy farmers in New York to citrus growers in California. Whether by email, fax, or personal visits, it takes far fewer personalized communications than one would think to make an impact with Congress. Farmers grow crops and raise livestock to feed, fuel, clothe, and shelter people, here at home and abroad. It is only logical that they also take the time to share those stories with lawmakers. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own. They reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just call us at 217-333-0850.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Bill Mayer is away from his office in Lexington, Illinois this afternoon. In his stead, Jim Cripe of the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana, joins us to take a look at the Thursday afternoon cash grain prices. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about harvest there in your part of the world. You're not too very far from Purdue University, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we're just 15 miles or so from Purdue University. We're probably in a rain delay just like most of the Midwest is. We're calling our bean harvest here locally 80% harvested. Corn, I wish, was further along, but it's probably more like 35 or 40%.
And in your area, have farmers been happy with the yields they've been making for both those crops?
I think soybeans were far enough along that pretty much know that everybody was pretty well pleased. We had a very good bean crop, but we had a lot of replant corn in the area, and as we're getting into that, I would say corn is a good crop, but maybe just a little disappointing.
Did your cash prices go above $3 for corn earlier in the week?
Actually, our highest close this week was $2.98, but our basis has improved a little bit since then. Had we had those futures closes tonight, we'd been over $3, but kind of surprised, but we're certainly approaching that.
And did farmers take advantage of, and are they continuing to take advantage of the higher prices on the cash side?
You know, we have had quite a little bit of activity in the last week or so, and a lot of it has been in the deferreds as they reach out and sell in the corn and the carry in out of their bins for the springtime and summertime.
What have they been doing with soybeans? Same thing they usually do, which is to hang tight?
Hang tight as much as they can, and a lot of the beans coming into town have been already contracted or for sale, but there's some beans on the farm.
What do you see in the next 2 weeks on the cash grain side?
Well, I guess we're thinking that sooner or later harvest is going to take hold, and we're going to have an open window here, and we'll probably have one final setback in basis as everybody gets back in the field, but basis is much firmer than what anybody ever thought it would be, and I guess we're going to see that continue.
And what are your bids for the day?
Looks like tonight with the corn being just up a half cent here nearby, we did have a 3 cent basis improvement, puts it $2.94 tonight for nearby corn. Soybeans, a little basis improvement there also, puts us at $5.68.
Jim, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you for asking.
Jim Cripe is with the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana, filling in this afternoon for our regular Thursday afternoon analyst, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt about the agricultural weather. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Officials say Illinois' unemployment rate fell to 4.4% in September, down 0.3% from August. That's the lowest jobless rate for Illinois in 6 years. Illinois' rate has been below or the same as the U.S. rate for 5 consecutive months. The state added 900 new jobs in September, and the Illinois Department of Employment Security says the state has gained more than 76,400 new jobs this year, the best start to a year since 1998. A federal judge is hearing testimony today on the status of the racial equity consent decree imposed on the Champaign Unit 4 school district. Both school officials and the plaintiffs in the consent decree are presenting testimony before Judge Joe Billy McDade. The hearing, held at the U of I Law School building in Champaign, could lead to a determination on how long the consent decree will stay in place. The Federal General Accountability Office will have to review the disposal of neutralized VX nerve agent in the Delaware River in New Jersey before the disposal can begin. The VX has been stored for years at the Newport Chemical Depot in western Indiana and is now being neutralized there. The review was placed into a law by New Jersey congressmen and signed by President Bush yesterday. Emergency crews in Champaign-Urbana got some valuable training on handling accidental spills today. They simulated an oil spill from the U of I's Abbott Power Plant as part of a regularly scheduled drill. Fire crews came to several street corners to monitor the mock spill through storm sewers and Boneyard Creek. The FBI issued warrants today for a couple who are suspected of kidnapping the woman's 9-month-old son and killing a social worker. The baby, his mother, and her boyfriend are still missing. They were last seen Monday at a gas station off Interstate 70 in Illinois. Officials say three people were injured at O'Hare International Airport this morning when a jet engine blast blew over a luggage cart on the tarmac. The Chicago Fire Department says one person was transported to the hospital in serious condition. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage. This is WILL and the Closing Market Report. We're joined on this Thursday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by Peter Levitt, meteorologist. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's cooling down here. Temperatures dropping to 43 degrees at this hour, and it's just a sign of fall and things that will come over the next week or so, I believe.
No, I think so. I think you're right on that one. It looks like a cold week coming up, at least below normal temperatures, anywhere from 4 to 10 degrees below normal are expected as we see a pretty cool air mass coming out of western and south central Canada dropping into the north central and central U.S. during the week. It will be accompanied and preceded by a few showers, mostly on tomorrow night, Friday night, Saturday, and into Sunday. And I think we are going to see a showery day on Sunday as a second surge of colder weather moves in. And then it will clear out for much of the rest of the week. And temperatures, as I said, will only be getting up into the upper 40s to low 50s during the daytime. And the low temperatures will be down in the low 30s. So that's below normal for the period.
Gray skies and showers, not so good for harvest, but we do have a wheat crop that's been put in the ground from the western plains all the way to Ohio and thereabouts for the soft red winter wheat. How's emergence coming and what are conditions like for it?
Well, I think these cool temperatures are not going to bother that very much. They're not that cold that they will slow things down appreciably. And the moisture has been reasonably good across most of soft red country. It's a hard red country where the moisture problem still exists in the southern plains and Oklahoma and Texas, but everything I think in soft red country is pretty good. The drier weather certainly won't hurt with all of the moisture they've received in the last couple of months. So I think prospects are pretty good there.
Wheat crop in the U.S. Just about completely in the ground. The other place it's planting is the southern hemisphere at this point. They're putting beans in the ground in Brazil and Argentina. How are they doing?
Well, their weather is improving a bit in the Argentine. They've had very dry season. They're starting to see some showers, and that'll be beneficial down in there. As far as Brazil is concerned, drier weather has enabled them to move ahead with field work, and they're now going to get some moisture. So I think prospects in Brazil are pretty good. Now, one other item, Todd, is that today is the third Thursday. It means we have the long-range forecast coming out today.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no surprises there. They're going for above normal temperatures in the north central states, below normal only in the Gulf Coast. Elsewhere, little change. And for precipitation, essentially normal at its equal chances of wet or dry. Dry in the northwest, wet in southern Texas, wet in Florida. And the winter season, at least November, December and January, very mild on their prediction from everywhere from the Ohio Valley westward to the Pacific Coast. So they're looking at another one of these mild winters, and I'm going to take exception to that. I think we're not going to see as mild a winter as they're looking for this year.
Speaking of not mild, and we can talk about the winter wheat crop in Australia. It's finished in more than one way, I suppose, but are they set to recover from their drought conditions at any time in the near future?
No, they are not. We've got an El Nino going, and the odds are about 65% that they will continue very dry in the southeastern part of the country, which is a major wheat area there. The northwest will be wet. They don't grow wheat in the northwest of Australia. And the southwest will be normal to dry. So I don't see any improvement in the drought pattern, at least statistically speaking, through the next several months with this El Nino growing. And they're getting pretty concerned about that, having another dry year back-to-back.
Thanks much, Pete.
Mm-hmm, my pleasure.
Pete Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets on the pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. And get your fingers ready to dial, because we're starting our shortened fund drive, and we need you, the farmers and agribusiness folks, to be ready to support ag programming right here on this radio station. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.